Welcome to the 167 podcast, a podcast to inspire, challenge, and encourage you. Our goal is to help you live into the 167 hours of your week away from church. And now your host, Shannon Patterson.
Well, hey, Porch Community, and welcome to episode 182 of the 167 podcast. I'm Shannon Patterson, your lead pastor here at the Porch Community Church. And as always, I'm with my good friend, your media pastor, Josh Harrell. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Shannon, how's it going?
It's going okay. Just okay.
Sometimes that's all it is.
Funny thing. I'm from Oklahoma.
Okay.
I don't know if I've ever mentioned that before.
No.
But for the longest time, right now, the license plates in Oklahoma say like Native American. It's really cool. And it's got this cool like Indian, and he's like pulling a bow back and going to shoot it. And it's awesome. But for a long time, it was Oklahoma is okay.
I think I remember that, and like okay was like in the middle of it.
I don't remember exactly, but that was like okay. Well, there you go.
That's all you get.
Oklahoma is okay. Okay.
I mean, could go. At least it's not Mississippi.
Oh man!
I mean, our
apologies to all of our Mississippi people.
So. All three of you.
I don't even know. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, as you can tell.
Okay.
Well, my voice sounds a lot better than it did on Sunday.
If you talked to me on Sunday, a baritone, a deep.
Yep. Like if apparently I need to smoke more to keep it.
Yeah. Yeah, you could have sung in a quartet.
But yeah, really. On Saturday I was doing a gig, and I wasn't doing any yelling or anything. I wasn't DJing. I was just running a LED wall, and then I talked to Dave, who's the sound engineer here at church, and I go, hey, I'm about to lose my voice. And then in 20 minutes, gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, I mean, as long as it didn't hurt or anything. So. No. Was it allergies? What? Just
allergies.
Went? Yeah. You were outside?
They kept the door open.
Oh.
Yeah.
You and your outdoor allergies.
They're extreme.
By the way, I said, hey, Porch Community. I should have said aloha because Josh is looking snazzy today. He really is.
I'm wearing my Bob Moon shirt.
I mean, yeah, your Bob Moon memorial shirt. So
can't call it a memorial shirt.
I like to do that. I'm going to. Looks like you're yelling at me in this. I just took a picture of him.
Oh yeah, and my nose looks huge.
I'll take another one, but we'll post it up whenever we put this out.
Yeah.
So we'll put it on the Facebooks, on the Spacebooks. So there's aloha. Right. Anyway. So last week in episode 181.
No one listens in Mississippi.
No, that's what you were looking up?
Yeah. We have more listeners in Ecuador than we do Mississippi.
Oh, there's a joke in there somewhere. But anyway, so last week we started this conversation about gatekeeping. What does it mean? What is the like official definition versus what is it kind of morphed into? They still have similarities, of course. If you haven't listened to 181, I would encourage you to go listen to it just so we're continuing that conversation today about gatekeeping. It was just something on my mind, you know, it was one of those, I just keep a list of topics, and it was one of those that I plucked out a few, you know, while, and we started jumping into it. But I want to do this real quick. I want to remind everyone of a couple of definitions. Josh was a little wary when I said the Oxford Dictionary definition. He was like, they're not conservative enough for him, but I'm going to give you the Oxford definition anyway. Of gatekeeping is a person or a system that decides whether someone or something will be allowed to reach a particular place or person. So that's a pretty wide, broad definition of gatekeeping, but I'd say it's accurate. Here's Merriam-Webster's definition, Josh. I pulled this for you.
Ooh, Merriam.
Okay. It's simply, this is theirs, it's very simple, a person who controls access.
Yeah, gatekeeper.
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, Urban Dictionary, which it always makes your eyebrow pop up whenever I mention them.
Yeah. At least on recorded media.
Right. But it's when someone takes it upon themselves to decide who does or does not have access or rights to, you know, and that in regard to that, it's like, you can't be a fan of so-and-so, or you can't like them, or you can't identify with this group because whatever. So, but it's all the same. It really goes back to Webster's, which is a person who controls access or a person who wants to control access, I guess, mm-hmm. would be a good example of that too. So we're talking about gatekeeping. Last week, we didn't really wade too far into...
that was me. Sorry. Yeah,
no. Did you have an idea?
No. Kara has an idea.
Oh, gotcha. We didn't wade too much into where does this gatekeeping reality, what does it look like in the church? What does it look like for Christians? Is it bad? Is it good? Is it necessary? Is it unnecessary? Whatever. So we're going to talk about those specifics today. So starting off with, and I've got these kind of labeled as topics. The first one is just gatekeeping and Christians. So gatekeeping and Christians. And I think for some people might go, no, there should be no gatekeepers. No one should control access to anything. We should have access to everything or be able to know anything or see anything or anything like that. And the first question I would pose is, can you have a religion? So I'm not just talking about Christianity here, just religion in general. Can you have a religion without some form of gatekeeping?
Mm.
And I don't think you can't.
No.
Because you mentioned this last week, like each organization, or especially when you talk about faith, it has a doctrine or it has a standard. You talked about standards last mm-hmm. week. So I would say that, yeah, you cannot have a religion without some form of gatekeeping. Even the most inclusive religions still require parameters and tenets. And some of those might be you have to believe all these things versus, well, I don't really believe that. Well, like, no, if you don't believe at all, then you can't come in.
Correct.
You
keep it knocking, but you can't come in.
Atheism has its own version of gatekeeping. For starters, you can't believe in God. So that would be like, you couldn't be like, all right.
No, God is nothing.
Anyone can be an atheist. No, you have to not believe in God. So that is a form of, I mean, it's a restrictive thing.
Yeah.
So there's
everything has gates.
Yes. Yes. And I guess you make it sound so simple, but I don't know if everyone really, I don't know if people fully comprehend that. And we touched on that last week.
It's you like, can't be a Braves fan if you don't like the Braves. That's a gate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can't be a Braves fan unless you hate the New York Mets.
True. But I mean, like, everything has some form of standard
uh-huh.
that is, if you don't check this box,
right,
you're not a part of it.
And this is where Christianity gets basically like a free pass for everyone to just lob, like, insults and barbs and jabs and other assaultive things at Christianity for saying that we're gatekeeping and keeping people out.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I would say to that.
Quit it.
Stop. No, Christianity, and hear me on this, and because I want you to check me and see if you agree. And if I, Christianity has the most inclusive message.
Yes.
For humanity.
Yes.
Requiring the most exclusive response.
Yes.
So Christ's love is for all. His sacrifice was for all.
Mm-hmm.
But he is the only way.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. Inclusive and exclusive. All right there. And depending on where someone stands in regard to Christianity, they might go, no, that's not. No, you've put up a massive gate and you're not letting me in. Well, Jesus was a gatekeeper. He's a gatekeeper.
He was the key.
He's it. So that's kind of the overarching with Christianity, and we think about that. You pondering some stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, you keep pondering. Well, go ahead.
It's like the gatekeeping that I see against Christianity is not necessarily about what Jesus teaches.
Mm.
It's more about, except for a few outlying things,
mm-hmm.
It's more about the way we keep gates at our churches.
Mm-hmm.
And because for whatever reason, Christians are by the world are held to a you can't falter standard.
Yeah.
And so we're called out for our gatekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't
directly like
linked to Jesus scripturally. Uh-huh. When we falter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree with that. I think, and if I'm tracking with you, and I say this all the time. I say it in messages. I say it on here. Like anytime you put a human being in an environment, whether it's authority or not, or church or just general society, whatever, you're going to have problems.
Yes, 100%.
Because we judge, we prejudice, we're immature. We're flawed people, and mm-hmm. so the best of systems that we could develop are going to have flaws in them because they're run by flawed people.
Mm-hmm.
And so even when you look at Christianity,
but from other gatekeepers, we're expected to be flawless.
In regard to Christianity, yeah, yes. For sure. Yeah, and that's what I'd say. And in regard to our faith, we're attempting to adhere to Scripture and to follow Scripture and to allow Scripture to enlighten us and teach us and show us a better understanding of who God is, and then our lives to morph to that. I mean, that process is even can be flawed, not because God is flawed, but because we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
So the living out of our faith takes some hits.
Mm-hmm.
Because there might be an external expectation of no, you can't screw up because you're supposed to be perfect.
Yeah.
Which is a flawed, like, that's, there's nowhere in Scripture where you find that.
Like. Well, and that's where I think, like, everyone cringes about gatekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about, like, gatekeeping the religion or gatekeeping standards.
Mm-hmm.
It's the gatekeeping of someone else's perceived ideology, and mm-hmm. you're not gatekeeping yourself, you're gatekeeping other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where I get, like, I hate gatekeeping.
You get really frustrated.
Yeah, because who are you to tell me that I'm mm-hmm. not living to the standards that are mm-hmm. set for me in whatever world of standards I'm in at that point?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Whether it's Christian, whether it's being an Auburn fan, whether it's being a husband or a father.
Mm.
You know, what gives you the right to be the gatekeeper over someone else's actions in life.
And that's, I think that is a question people ask of Christians.
Yeah.
And when you ask it of a Christian, that means a person who is following Christ or professes to follow Christ, you are asking a flawed person.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at Scripture itself, and you realize there's gatekeeping that happens right there. Go back to my point. Christianity has the most inclusive message. It is for every single person that has ever drawn breath on mm-hmm. this earth, but it requires the most exclusive response, and that's where it's like that's a scriptural thing. I mean, that's a gatekeeping thing, and I didn't make that up.
Yeah, well,
that's not a
to that point
thing.
Is
yeah.
You as a lead pastor of a church,
mm-hmm.
you're not the gatekeeper of that.
No.
and that's what I think people from the outside looking in don't understand.
Yeah.
Is that you are not, like, the people of the church aren't the gatekeepers of the religion.
No, we're not.
Jesus is.
We're the people that have walked through the gate.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
But and I think that's where the biggest misconception is that, and might be people in the church's misconception of their role
mm-hmm.
is like people outside looking in, the people in the church aren't the gatekeepers.
No.
And people in the church go, you're not a gate, need to go, I'm not a gatekeeper.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a gatekeeper.
Yeah. That's very true.
I'm the point that, like you were talking about in Journey Weekend,
mm-hmm.
we're there to show you the gate.
Right. Right. Here it is. It's right
but
over there.
It's something you have to do yourself.
Yeah. You get a crossover yourself, yeah. And that's true. I mean, I think that's a fantastic point. We could just end right now. So, because that's it.
Well, it's only 14 minutes, so I don't know about that.
Our listeners are like, oh, great, I get to do that one. So, well, let's go into this next topic then. Some people would view, and I would even say I could be there too, is gatekeeping a form of discrimination? Yes.
Yeah.
It certainly is.
But with what definition are you using of discrimination?
Well, people can use gatekeeping for discriminatory reasons. Like it does. Look at history.
Yeah.
African Americans, they were considered one third of a person.
And before that, they were just
property.
Until
the civil rights era. Yes. Yeah, so they went from property to one third of a person.
Yeah.
So there's a discriminatory gatekeeping going on there, right?
Yeah.
Before, you know, the women's suffrage movement and women's right to vote and mm-hmm. all that. I mean, so you can look historically and see how a form of gatekeeping was used to discriminate. And, I mean, again...
The Holocaust. I mean, literal gates.
Yeah. Locked.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, it is. And, again, I go back to the flawed human portion of that. And you can even go into, you know, in, like... under the old covenant in the Old Testament and see a form of gatekeeping that was like, do not engage with those people, you know, like from God, you know, either through a prophet or God speaking to Moses, like refrain from these people. Like that's a don't. That gate is closed. Don't go through that or don't let them through. So that's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you know, when we were in the Leviticus series, you know, we talked about a lot of the restrictions that under the law that they had, and you can trace it directly. At the time, I don't think anyone knew, they didn't know, but you can look at now with our technology and understanding of a lot of it was health restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
Like the reason you didn't eat that food or drink that or whatever it might be, it was a health, you know, you can trace it now and go, well, that was a health thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yes. Perfect example. How do you eat your pork chop?
Like
how do you eat it?
With my mouth?
No, like, is it, do you eat them, like, do you make sure they're well done?
Yes. Okay, I'm with you now.
You don't have to anymore.
Why?
Because the diet of a pig has been so controlled now because mm-hmm. they used to be scavengers, which is why they didn't want you to eat them.
Yeah.
That it's up there with cows that you can eat a pork chop medium mm-hmm. well, medium.
Right.
Or well.
Is that why you can now eat shrimp that's like the filter of the ocean?
Yeah.
You can eat it raw? Or is it, do they boil that or steam it?
I don't know. I don't know an answer to that, but I do know the pig question.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just thinking it's cold, so it's not cooked. But no, it's probably been cooked and then chilled.
I think freezing it is what saves that. But, but now that pork quality is up to the same standard as mm-hmm. beef, it's clean to eat now.
Gotcha.
Peter
would be so excited.
The reason that restriction in place is no longer there.
Yeah.
Because we went to, okay, now it's just safe to eat, but you got to really make sure it's cooked.
Right.
So now you can treat it like a good cut of meat.
Yeah. Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So we've defined gatekeeping. Let's see. How does it
always
play
cook
a role?
Your chicken all the way through?
Always,
like, that's
always.
Never going to change.
How does it play gatekeeping play a role in scripture? It's first of all, I just mentioned this. You mentioned it last time. Was like, what are our standards? What are our core beliefs? Like, what are the? There's a form of gatekeeping that happens even our Bible itself. It's a canon. It was agreed upon through a group of people who said, we believe these books to be the inspired word of God mm-hmm. based on history, authenticity, you know.
We have an episode about
yes.
that.
Yeah. And so, like, these are the agreed upon tenets of faith. When you look at our creeds, you know, the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed, these are creeds that are believed to be accurate and a large portion. But that's a form of gatekeeping, and that's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're talking about Christianity. So, like, we're talking about a defined group. Like, if you want to adhere to this or follow this, there's some gatekeeping happening, and that's not in the negative realm.
Form, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything that doesn't have some form or fashion of gatekeeping.
Yeah.
And I can't think of one.
I think the reason that I wanted to even talk about this is because it has such a negative vibe to it, or like a, you know, like you can't sit with us. Like we only wear, you know, we wear on Tuesdays, well, we wear pink. Like it's been not, hijacked. You don't even go here. Right. And I don't want us to do that.
Yeah, it's been hijacked.
Yeah.
Because I mean, because gatekeeping is upholding basic standards and practices.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. And then you get into organizations such as, I mean, like extra biblical beliefs, you know, and that's when you start to wade into maybe like Christian-ish, like cultish things, or, you know, like.
But that's outside of the standards and practices
Mormonism
of Christianity.
Or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. There's another testament all of a sudden. It's like, what? There is? I didn't know that.
And so if you deviate from any standards and practices, you've manipulated the gate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now you're doing you're gatekeeping something else that isn't the true intent of what you're supposedly protecting.
Yeah.
Which is one reason I hate when I have a problem with that implied gatekeeping of other people's standards and practices.
Mm.
Because the person that's saying they're holding you accountable doesn't understand the standards and practices that either A, you're upholding and they don't understand it, or B, you've messed up.
Right.
They still don't understand really why.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So you mentioned this as far as like it's scriptural, we see this, but ancient Israel had literal gatekeepers. Like that was their job. They guarded the gate. First Chronicles 9 described there are people who watched the city gates. They were there to protect Israel from their enemies. I mean, it was there were constant battles. There were nation against nation, army against army. When gates fell, cities were demolished. Peoples were, you know, destroyed or taken. You know, you look at Nehemiah. We were just joking in the office about Kristen walking around the building as she was doing her morning walk. And we're like, did you blow a horn? Like, we don't want the building to fall down. But Nehemiah built gates and walls around a city so that they would be guarded to keep enemies out. So, I mean, this is a known thing. We talked about, you know, pork. In Acts chapter 10, Peter gets this vision to rise, and he can eat non-kosher foods now. Like, go ahead and eat. It's okay. I don't know about the pig exactly, but there's no more gatekeeping in there. You know, you need to let Gentiles into God's kingdom. And that was the message that he was receiving. It took him a little bit to get it, but he got it. Galatians 3, there was a gate before between slave and free, no more. Jew and Gentile, no more. Male, female, no more. We all make up the body of Christ. No single body matters more than the other.
Mm-hmm.
So that you see where scripture has used gatekeeping, and you've seen where it's been, okay, this gate is no more, but you see scripturally, and so as Christians, we adhere to this, or we receive this, we understand this. Let's move to this topic. How would you say Christians can gatekeep in a positive way? And then let's look at some negative ways.
Gatekeeping what you allow into your life.
And
using the standard, does this glorify God?
Yeah.
Like gatekeeping yourself from influences and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the word. What's influencing you? What is, you know, what do you, your eyes, your ears, what are you taking in?
Yep.
That's a really good point. You know, we get, as a church, you know, we'll have people say, well, what do you all believe? Will I be accepted there? What do y'all believe about this or that? And we have these questions.
I mean, we'll probably get those questions 3-4 times a month.
Yep. Yeah. So here's where I think it can get weird. And this is probably where you and I would get more frustrated. where you take two groups of Christians who are both Christians, and they each believe that they are, you know, Jesusing the way mm-hmm. that Jesus would want them to Jesus, and they basically are like, okay, well, or we have the Bible, great. But then you go, okay, well, which translation? So there's a gatekeeping thing right mm-hmm. there. Then they declare like their sources, like, no, mine is the only authoritative one. No, yours is full of errors or whatever. And then, you know, this attack on counterparts is, well, you're not really, are you even really a Christian? I remember growing up as a mm-hmm. Catholic, and people would be like, I don't know where, no one ever told me this was the line I'm supposed to respond, but someone would ask me if I was a Christian. I'd say, no, I'm Catholic. I wasn't saying I wasn't a Christian, but I saw a line between Catholicism and Christianity. Now I understand, and I don't know what the intention of the question was, but it wasn't whether I was Catholic or not Catholic. It was, do I believe in Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Like, did I accept him? And of course, I didn't until I was in my 20s. But I know people who are Catholic who are faithful Christians.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they are. And so, like, but that's like some gatekeeping happening mm-hmm. there. You know, but we could say, well, they're not really Christians, or they're misled, or, you know, I mentioned last week, like, the, no, we're the true Christians, you know, with like trademark, you know, well, kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You as lead pastor, you mm-hmm. gatekeep Ooh. How we interpret.
I do.
The Yikes. Scriptures as, mm-hmm. as a church. And that's your job.
But didn't you just say that we're not gatekeepers?
Of the religion.
Of the overall religion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's not our job.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your job to gatekeep the church two blocks down.
Yes, true. Very true. So then what we're saying is that with responsibility or certain positions comes a responsibility to gatekeep.
Yes,
and like you're a gatekeeper for your girls.
I'm a gatekeeper for the church.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're
yes.
I don't let certain things on our social media.
You delete some things sometimes. Yeah. You're like, hold on, I didn't. That comment was not necessary. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's my job.
Yeah.
And so, we have to do it.
Yes.
But it's in our realm.
Mm-hmm.
We're not called to gatekeep other people.
There you go. We're called to gatekeep what we're responsible for.
Yes.
Yes. And that's not a bad word.
No.
Can we screw it up?
Yes.
Yes.
Will we? Yes.
Probably. Most likely.
I mean, we will.
Yeah.
I mean, I can look back on something I posted 10 years ago, and I'm like, well, why did I post that?
Why did I say that? Oh, I was thinking the other day about a message that I did, and I was like, why did I? I don't even know why. Why
yeah.
did I say what I said?
Yeah. So,
and not that it was even, like, an error, biblical
no,
error,
it was
but
just,
it was like... It just
you just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I just wouldn't do it. So yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. All right, so using that example as being a gatekeeper, and I'm not going to use this episode to do this. It could be something we bring up down the road, but I don't think it's necessary right now. There are certain versions of Bible translations that I will not, I don't read, and I'm not like, oh no, my eyes can't see it. I just don't read, and I would never use as in my messages.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have them, like, I wouldn't. But I do not feel that it is to such a degree that I'd be like, Justin, you can never use
that. So that's personal gatekeeping.
Or, well, a little bit of both. I think that it is some personal. But I do, going back to that sense of the responsibility I have,
mm-hmm.
I feel like, from my understanding, this is a better presentation for a wide group of people.
But you don't block it from...
Correct. And I wouldn't tell someone, yeah. and I wouldn't stand up on Sunday morning and go, everyone open your Bibles, unless you have the blah-blah-blah.
Yeah.
You can keep that one closed. Like, that would be not
well,
cool.
I mean, you probably wouldn't let someone get up there and preach with a Jeffersonian Bible.
No, probably not. It wouldn't be a good thing.
Yeah, so... But,
didn't
so,
he, like, chop out parts, like,
all
huge
the,
chunks of
all
it?
All the red words are gone.
What?
Yeah.
I've never read that. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Like, you mean Jesus' words?
Yeah, they're all gone.
Why?
Because now it's a historical book.
Oh. Huh. Didn't know that.
Yep.
See, I know you're a history buff, so mm-hmm. you got.
That's why I love the number series.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. I've had so many people. I say so many. I mean, you know, handfuls. Over the last few days, say I'm really excited about this series because all I thought it was just about like history. You know, like an accountant's, you know, like reading off of.
No, some of the coolest stuff in the Bible happens in. That 40-year span.
Yeah.
And between Moses and Joshua, like some of the coolest stuff in the entire Bible.
Yeah.
And stuff that that doesn't exist anymore. Like the image that you created for the bumper video of like the giant fruit.
Yeah.
You know, fruit was literally that big.
It was big. It was big.
You know, but it's not anymore.
Right.
So
right. They wanted them to be so, God wanted them to be so overwhelmed mm-hmm. with the bounty. Of the promise.
And like the snake on a stick, it probably wasn't a small little snake that we would see. It was probably a giant serpent.
Yeah.
Because it was referenced as a giant serpent, wasn't it?
I don't know if the size was referenced, but I mean, you got to think among a couple million people.
It's got to be, yeah.
It's going to be visible.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be a tiny thing. Yeah.
You know, so I.
It's not going to be like your garter snake, you know, kind of.
It's really good to see stories that you've heard your entire, because. It's funny, adult church tends to stick in New Testament,
mm-hmm.
but like children's Sunday school is Old Testament.
Them
really
good stories down there.
Yeah,
that's right.
But then no one really goes back and read them as an adult because they've read them 10 times going through
mm-hmm.
children's church. You know.
Well, and going back to your point about history, I think sometimes I do this too. It's like once I have the history, then I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the new stuff.
Yeah,
like that's just a foundation. But I think there's more. There's always more to glean. Mm-hmm. And I hinted at that in Sunday's message when I said, by the way, if you think this is a boring book, I'll let you know. I was reading in Numbers whenever the Lord told me to come to Valdosta, Georgia,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, and I'll tell you more about that later. Yeah. So, it's not just like I said, an accountant, you know, reading off numbers, like
no.
kind of a thing with like that. Remember that green visor that they would have? You see on shows, like a bookie would have like a visor with like.
I always
thought
that was like for like
green tint
illegal gambling. Accountants.
I mean, usually, you know, but like, you know,
and they have that. They have a cigarette.
You need
and
to look at why was it tinted green. Why was that? Yeah. We don't know. Google that.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to Google. I mean, Anyway, so we can definitely, I would say, without a doubt, gatekeeping happens between denominations. As far as that's what even set them up as denominations, because. One would claim one thing and one another. One would claim one interpretation over another. So there's gatekeeping there.
It was to protect their eyes.
From what?
But, like candlelight and stuff and the difference of money. It would just keep the colors more accurate.
Oh, like maybe watch for counterfeit or something?
No, it was just kind of like you have computer, like with computers, you have blue light glasses.
Okay.
Same thing.
It was the old school. It was a green light.
Yeah.
Green light glasses or green light visor. Talking about gatekeeping with denominations, you know, you can get into, well, what's your understanding of the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit operate and work within your church or within you? What do you think of the end times? You know, your eschatology, how do you view the rapture or tribulation? All those things. Some will go, oh, well, you're naive or you're heretical, like depending on where you land. So there's gatekeeping. It's there. Let's get real. This is one of the reasons I thought about having this topic of gatekeeping. And it's kind of where I'm going to end with a quote that a historian wrote about Francis Asbury. But before
Francis.
I do that, how you vote, where you stand politically in regard to the church, like gatekeeping happens.
Yeah.
I mean, 2020 was bad for many, many reasons, one of which was
the
presidential race and COVID. I mean, it was just a bad, like, bad time. I think we've already addressed this, but I'm reading off the topics that I have bolded in my notes. And the question is, can gatekeeping be sinful? And without a doubt, I mean, yes,
mm-hmm.
of course it can be. By our very name, Christian, we are gatekeepers
yep.
of Christianity because mm-hmm. we believe in Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and life. He's that narrow gate. But we can practice gatekeeping in a way that's wrong. We can go against the model of we are the body of Christ and go, oh, well, you're just an eye. you know, or you're just a kneecap or, you know, all that. Mm-hmm. They read and go, you're not, we don't need you. And that's not good. We don't want that in the church. We don't want to, we want to operate as a healthy church. So that, that can be a way that Christians can practice gatekeeping in a way that's not healthy. Gatekeeping can go against Jesus's mission.
Yep.
Who did Jesus minister to first? And you see this go on. He ministered first to the Jewish people. But then you see how the early church was very intentional about ministering to the Gentiles. God, his plan was for every tribe, every tongue, every nation to call on his name, to confess that Jesus is Lord. And so if we gatekeep who and how we, I mean, for years that was a, it, that continues to be an issue. It's like, well, we're not going to share the gospel with these people. You know, that's not, we don't want to do that.
Yep.
And then I mentioned the creeds earlier. We can gatekeep, it can go against the creeds if we're not careful. We can find that we do go, well, are you Christian or are you Catholic? Like, that's not a question. Like, don't do that. Like, so it can be harmful. We can mess that up for sure. You know, when Jesus was talking with the Pharisees, time and again, he argued with the Pharisees on several different issues.
Yeah.
And some of the most personal ones were these gatekeeping of other Jewish people and Gentiles, like how they dealt with tax collectors and people who were, you know, drunkards or, you know, prostitutes or, you know, those who were disabled or sick. I mean, constantly you see this separation going on. And what did Jesus do? He shows up and he proves gatekeepers who were misusing their faith or what mm-hmm. they believed to be true, misusing it. And he, by his words and actions, was like, you say this is unclean or this person's unclean. He's not. Or, you know, like he constantly came in and just kind of flipped that script
right.
of how people were practicing gatekeeping, and he came to change that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that very thing with the vision that Peter received was like, here's this, you know, scroll lowered down. Like, all this stuff that you thought was unclean, it's not anymore.
Right.
Jesus kind of came to set that stage. Paul and the Jewish Christians, he, you know, was very adamant with the Jewish Christians who were trying to implement Old Testament law, like circumcision, onto new Gentile believers, adult believers. And he was like, no, that form of gatekeeping, that's not necessary anymore. You know, we don't need right. that anymore. So, okay, let's just boil this. Let's just get down with it. Gatekeeping, it's real. It happens. It's a reality. I think when you're dealing with human beings, it's going to happen. When you're dealing with facts and faith, you're going to have gatekeeping. You're going to have people question. You're going to have people try to storm the gates. You're going to have people, but I will go back to the quote I said at the beginning, which is, I believe Christianity is the most inclusive religion in the world.
It is.
With the most exclusive response that you could have. Like, you have, it's for everyone, but you've got to call on the name of Jesus.
That's what makes it?
A narrow gate.
Yeah.
A tiny little gate. But it's through Jesus. So, let me end with this. And actually, you know, we're part of the Foundry Network. We've right. talked about that before. It's just the network that we've chosen to be a part of as a church. And so me and the lead pastors, there's now 20 of us.
Or really? Maybe
21. Yeah, 21 church, 20 churches now that are in, we've added 4 or 5 in the last couple of months. So, we now, are in a constant conversation.
But you're in like a subgroup of the Foundry, right? As like the founders?
No, I'm not one of the founders. Mm-mm. No. Well, we have like a leader. There was like an initial group, and we were in that.
Yeah.
Like there was like 6 or 7 of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we're up to 20.
Okay.
And we do have a leadership council, but I'm not on that.
Okay. Never mind. That's not for podcast.
Yeah. So we're part of the Foundry Network, and now we do have like a smaller, like, we're trying to get each state or region to have its own smaller like subgroup to meet more often in
person. Maybe that's what it was.
Forged. Georgia is, we have the Forge Network of Georgia.
So yeah.
We haven't really done a whole lot with that yet. But anyway, yeah. So I'm in this group, the Foundry. We're a part of it. We're in constant like texting. I'm just getting stuff right now because another one of the pastors had just had a book published. And but one of them shared the other day, they were reading from a like church historian named John Wiggers, and he was writing on Francis Asbury, and he was like, hey, you know, the pastor that shared it was like, you know, we're coming up on this, it's about to ramp up politics, so I thought this would be a good quote to share with you. And this is what he wrote. He said, all temporal concerns, particularly with regard to politics, were ultimately a distraction from a higher calling. So think about that in regard to our gatekeeping and when we think about politics. What difference did it make which government people lived under if in the end they landed in hell? Oof. Mm. There's some gatekeeping right there, because people be like, is hell real? Yeah. Is there a separation? You know, all right. I'm just adding my own little commentary in here. Surely the greater good was to continue to preach under whichever political faction prevailed. With this in mind, Asbury determined to stay in America and weather the storm, which was the Revolutionary War that he was in. So there was this whole thing of, well, who are you for? Are you for Britain or are you for America? What are you going to do, Francis? Where are you going to go? And he was like, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who is the ruler of this land. My job, his calling was to preach the gospel.
Mm.
And so he didn't.
Which probably wasn't very popular.
I'm sure it wasn't. Yeah, I'm sure they were like, come home to England because this is where you are. Yeah, or only share the only share the gospel with the British people. I don't know if that's what they said. But I just think that's a... that's a quote that I'm going to come back around to a couple of times, and just for me personally, it's like, yeah. Doesn't matter who, ultimately, it doesn't matter who's in positions of authority. If you're a believer, then you're called to be a believer where you are. So anyway, gatekeeping can be good, can be bad. It's real. We see it in the Bible. We see it in everyday life. Just don't be a jerk, everybody. Yep. That's our conclusion.
Gatekeep what you're responsible for.
Yeah, and then don't be a jerk about it.
Yep.
So, or about anything else. Anything else you want to throw in here, Joshua?
Well, we were talking about it on staff meeting yesterday that we got a lot of great stuff coming up. So make sure you're paying attention to our socials and all of our communications.
Yep.
Oh, and VBS registration is live. So if it you have is. Some kids, get signed up.
Yes, because it will fill up, so sign up now and share it with, if you want to bring like your friends, you know, your friends' kids. This is a great way. You might know a family that you've been talking to or you've met on the ball field or whatever, and it's a great way for you to introduce them to church life and faith. Invite their child to be a part of our VBS Scuba.
Duba.
Hey, Porch Community, thanks for hanging out with us today. We look forward to seeing you Sunday and talking to you again next week.
See you, bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the 167 podcast. Join us next time for more insights to inspire, challenge, and encourage you to help you live into the remaining 167 hours of your week.